to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where we watch horror movies. Ooh. And I bring in some friends who maybe haven't watched it before or have, and we talk about it. This week, joining us on the podcast, we have a very special guest. I'd like to welcome Chris Hemsworth.
Hello. You may have seen me in Captain America.
I thought you were Australian.
Uh-oh. I was thinking Chris Evans. I mean,
good day.
Nope.
Seems like you got to go, Chris Hemsworth. So it was good having you on the podcast.
Goodbye.
We'll see you later.
Woo! Oh, thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much for coming by, Chris. And as we always have most of the time here on the podcast, we have Jeff Miller.
Hi.
Hello. How's it going,
man? That was really loud.
That's okay.
I was just so excited about Chris being here.
I was going to say,
he just looked really uncomfortable, but
yeah, I was really excited to have him talk about Cabin in the Woods, but mm-hmm. then you scared him off. So I guess we're going to.
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable that he wasn't wearing a shirt.
I mean, when you have a ripper bod like that,
Not uncomfortable in a bad way mm-hmm. is what I'm.
I was more
I think
just
I
like,
was making him uncomfortable by how, you know, riled up I was.
Mm-hmm. And how fit you are as well, but not as fit as him.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of like just showing off my tries a little bit. And yeah. he seemed to be a little bit embarrassed.
He didn't have to try anything because he was just naturally that ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to have to switch movies this week, huh? Well, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get him back next time.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing swell.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. You yeah. have any horror experiences this week?
Outside of what I was forced to do for this podcast, I don't think so. I did watch part of just a beautiful art film called Love on a Leash.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for actually Skylar was tuning into a live How Did This Get Made?
Oh, that's fun.
And that movie ended up being quite scarier than I was expecting. Just the vibe really? Was off. I only caught a couple scenes. If you've never seen that movie,
I haven't even heard of it.
You gotta watch it. It's free on, I think, YouTube and Tubi. Love on a Leash. So, so fucking weird.
Give me like one of your classic, what you're most well known for, quick summaries of a movie.
Okay, here we go. A dog. He was a man in his past life. He was cursed to be reborn as a dog, and he needs to find love with a woman, a human woman.
The dog does?
Yes. To be turned back into a man in his next life. And so he just goes looking for women at the park, and he finds a woman, and they fall in love. Somehow
the human woman falls in love with a dog.
Yeah. 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 And he turns into a man at night.
Like a reverse werewolf.
Yes, totally. And like on cloudy days, he can kind of be a man or something. I don't know.
I'm imagining
this is just the scratching the surface.
I imagine him like as a half man, half dog. Just like, you know,
he's there
like
is apparently a scene that I missed legs. Where he's a man with a dog tail.
Okay.
So you're not far off.
Wow. This is very horror like.
Oh, yeah, there's not, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but I got to skip through the summary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's an overdose scene.
Does the dog get overdosed?
No, okay. The dog does get hit by a car in one scene. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not meant, it's supposed to be a romantic comedy, but it makes your stomach hurt. I've only watched like 3-4 scenes,
uh-huh.
but it was nightmare inducing for sure.
Is it safe to assume this movie came out in like the mid-90s, early 90s?
Great question. Couldn't even tell you. It looked like it was shot on maybe like a camcorder.
Okay.
Following the movie, turns out the movie was written in a different language
mm-hmm.
and then translated using like Google Translate into English.
Of course.
And then filmed to like to the script. So it's very much, it's an experience. Mm-hmm. You guys should all experience, partake in.
Wow, I might have to Wikipedia that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the movie on Tubi doesn't have any music.
Like for copyright reasons?
I don't know. I think the original had like a score and then.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was frightening.
That makes it more upsetting. My, no music, you know?
Oh yeah. And the editing is insane. Like a crazy person made this movie.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is horrific.
It's like horror in the real world. Mm-hmm. It's like it wasn't meant to be, but knowing the like reality behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The director like scammed a church to get the money to make the movie and stuff. It's insane.
Jesus.
So you guys should all go watch that movie. Don't give it any money, uh-huh, but just watch it for free if you can.
Would you maybe suggest watching the How Did This Get Made instead of watching the movie? Because I'm sure that's a much more...
I don't
more...
know if it's available, not live, but totally you
oh,
should.
It was a yeah, live
if you
thing,
can.
Huh?
Yeah, it was live. But they might release it anyway. So, I mean, if that's not available, I would definitely say check out How Did This Get Made.
Just in general.
In general.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not to send people away from our podcast, but...
It's a great podcast.
It's a great, you know? Great pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Mantzoukas.
Uh-huh.
June, whatever her last name is. Paul, also forget his last name. So
Paul F. Tompkins, right?
No.
Damn it. Oh, Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer.
Yeah.
And then his wife, June.
June.
I just know her as June. She's June? Like my favorite too, so I don't know or why June. I don't remember her last name. June, like
or June.
The month.
Dune.
Dune, great movie. So what about you, Steven?
Well,
any horror experiences in real life or in movie form?
Thankfully, just in entertainment form,
oh,
wasn't
good.
Movie form. I feel like since I've started this podcast, I kind of have been trying to do more horror related things, mm-hmm, to kind of talk about and bring to the table just because I've been indulging myself now.
Yeah, you're responsible now. You are.
I am a
cultural leader of horror.
I'm a father of a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Daddy podcast.
Don't ever call me that again. So I've been like picking up more like horror related comics. I was reading this one called Maniac of New York, which I think like, I want to talk about maybe at another time. It's still running, I think, or I've only read the first volume, but it's very interesting. Or I've been trying to play more horror related video games. I picked up Visage. I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, I was playing
the werewolf one.
Yeah. The Quarry.
The Quarry.
That's what it was. And so this week I decided to pick up, it's called the Blair Witch for the VR Oculus headset that I have.
Oh, yikes.
And I've been kind of putting it off for a little while because it looked all right, but you know, hey, can't say no to a sale.
Right.
So I grabbed that and I decided to give it a try. And first of all, I was also not too keen on picking this game up because I don't know if I have gone on my rants to you about how much I despise the first Blair Witch movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
Hate that movie.
It's like a
so much. That movie infuriates me.
It's like a classic. I've heard a bunch of people love that movie.
Maybe it was because I didn't see it till after the whole craze.
Mm.
But still, I feel like everyone was like, oh, it's so good. You got to check it out. Maybe it was the hype that
right.
disappointed me. But I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is boring. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, but yeah, like I've watched that movie a couple times trying to give it different tries, different chances, but every time I'm still just like, oh my God, this sucks.
Yeah. I've never watched the entire thing. Partially I get like motion sick from watching that movie, or at least I did when I was a kid. I haven't tried again since I was a kid, but
I'm sure that probably hasn't changed. I mean, again, it's like a bunch of kids with camcorders just shaking shit around. It's the first example of hand cam kind of horror footage movies that I can remember.
Right.
But it's just like a bunch of kids hanging out in the woods. And, you know, I know there's supposed to be that suspense building and creepy things are happening, but it's also just so fucking boring. Yeah, it's cool when like one of them finds a bag of teeth from like one of their friends who disappeared the night before. But then it's like, well, let's just go back wandering around. Here are some trees and some sticks. Sick.
God, that does sound boring.
Yeah. And then at the very end, you know, all the build up and suspense to one of them being like mysteriously disappearing. And then they find him in a basement somewhere and they're standing in a corner and then the camera drops and it's over. It's like, all right, well, there's cool. I don't care.
It's like watching someone who just bought a camcorder and just watching them wander around for an hour and a half and then it's over.
Pretty much. They try to sprinkle in horror elements of them being like chased or like, you know,
or the
unknown, the teeth, the unknown in the woods of, or like the weird stick people appearing.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the sound of stick people.
Well, they were just like hung up, hanging down from branches, like little sticks wrapped to make it look like little people with legs and arms.
Oh.
I was imagining something much cooler, like
moving stick people, mm-hmm. like a Groot, but evil.
Funny you say that. So going back to the game,
mm-hmm.
I picked it up and I've been pleasantly surprised by it so far.
Okay.
The graphics are okay. I guess this is now a video game review podcast. Mm-hmm. The graphics are okay. There's definitely a step down from like a PC VR or, you know, Oculus is very limited, but still I felt like I'm in the woods, which is cool. I like the fact that you have a dog companion with you. So it definitely makes it less terrifying than, you know, wandering around in the woods by yourself.
Right. But is that a good thing?
Having the dog with you?
Being less terrified, because isn't that kind of the point?
Yes and no. I have brought up a few times playing the Exorcist game on the mm-hmm. VR. It's just you're by yourself and I'll just stop. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I personally, I wouldn't want to play. I'm just, you know.
I feel personally more comfortable.
For a terror
fan. Like I'm able to kind of just keep going because I'm like, all right, you know what? This video game dog makes me feel much more comfortable for some reason because you can like send him off to go like look for things or like keep him close by.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun. So that's been helping me kind of progress through the game or like mm-hmm. kind of push on. And I got to this part where there are kind of like stick people. Like you were saying, it's...
Oh, like actual.
Yeah, it's like this creature thing that's made of sticks and like shakes and does all this stuff and like jumps around the woods. And like you have to aim the flashlight at it to make it like disappear, you know, like fall back, disappear, whatever. And so far, I'm just trying to like find this kid who went missing in the woods. And I think there are like some time travel elements incorporated too, because you find this hand cam from, I guess, the first movie and you look through it or something, or you see footage and you can manipulate it. And now I'm like mm-hmm. a couple days before the game started. So it's interesting. I'm only about like 4 or 5 levels in.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. I'm excited to kind of keep going through with it and yeah. see where it goes. Hopefully it gets more terrifying as well.
Right. And the story kind of evolves. Mm-hmm. You'll have to keep us, you know.
I'll keep you updated on that.
Right.
Yeah. So that pretty much is going to be it for horror related things for me.
Nice. That's pretty good. I mean, more than I'm.
Yeah.
I just have my dog movie.
Again, that's terrifying.
My scary, scary dog movie.
Like I said, I'm trying to do more horror related things just in general now. And this podcast has been helping me do that.
Yeah.
Make time to or put time aside to do those kinds of
to
things.
Live a scary life.
Yeah.
A life of horror.
Ooh. Well, I guess real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd call this horror, but it is a little bit. I saw the new Prey movie. Have you seen that?
Oh, no, but I really want to.
Damn. Okay. I don't want to really talk about it right
yeah.
now then.
Yeah. We'll save it for yeah. a couple too and give some people the chance to like.
Yeah. I guess it just
came
out.
I think
yeah.
it was like a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah. Friday.
I will say I've been only seeing good things.
Yeah.
Where people are like, oh, man, I was nervous it wasn't going to live up to the hype because everyone on like Twitter and just on the internet in general are like, so good, so good, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people saying, oh, I was worried that people were overhyping it. And then I saw it and it was so good. Like
yeah.
it lives up to it. And the like original people who worked on Predator are mm-hmm. reaching out to the cast from Prey and the people who made Prey. And they're like congratulating them and like saying how much they like the movie. I'm like, man, this just seems great. Like a
yeah.
positive experience all around. Like, I'm excited to watch it.
We did talk a little bit about it on our Lost episode recording.
Oh,
at
no.
the end of Hellraiser. But one of the things, like we talked about it being kind of, we were nervous that it was on Hulu specifically.
Right.
It didn't get a theatrical release. And we're just like,
yeah, because it's kind of could be, you know, sometimes there's a direct to video vibe.
Yeah.
So when it's straight to a streamer, it's especially Hulu
mm-hmm.
of all of them. If it was like an HBO, I don't know. Hulu always just seems
I think,
like
yeah, this they is gonna just be goofy. Have more credit than
right.
or HBO does more than Hulu.
So this you're saying
this was very, yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm not really concerned about, I guess, it being a Hulu thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely better than The Predator.
Yes. I mean, I haven't even seen it and I already know.
You didn't see The Predator?
No. I haven't seen Prey,
oh,
but
yeah.
I just know it's better. There's no way.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it's very cool. There are some spooky moments in it. And we'll talk about that on another one. But
yeah, we'll circle back for that.
Just to everyone out there, definitely recommend Prey on Hulu. Check it out.
Hell yeah. Hey, Steve.
Oh, hey, what up, Jeff?
This episode's a little different. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Well, usually you pick the movies, or you'll be like, hey, out of these three movies, what movie do you want to do?
Yes.
But for this one, I picked the movie.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
And you know what? I'm sorry. because for episode 12 of Hurwitz's House of Horror,
yes,
we watched Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive. All right, Maximum Overdrive came out in 1986. Stars Emilio Estevez.
Yes, it does.
In all his glory. Pat Hingle, Laura Harrington, and Yearly Smith in a small-ish role, who is the voice of Lisa Simpson.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't put that together till right now. Nice. I hear the voice.
Oh, yeah. She's got a very unique voice. That's for sure.
I'm going to start off by saying I did not recognize a lot of this cast.
No, I kind of just stopped reading the cast because
at a certain point,
no offense to, you know, these people, mainly just Emilio Estevez and Yearly Smith were the only two people that I recognized, I believe.
Hey, hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya. Am I right?
Oh, that's right.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
When he says that.
Yeah.
And then he gets his face crushed. Good times.
Yikes.
But you don't recognize Pat Hingle as Commissioner Gordon from the Batman movies?
Oh, shit. You're right. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
We're both learning things.
Those were the only two that I recognized was Emilio Estevez and Pat Hingle. And I guess now and that
yearly,
you pointed it out. Yeah.
This movie was also not only written by Stephen King, but directed by Stephen King.
That's right. Isn't this based off of a short story by Stephen King originally?
I believe so. Yeah. And he... before watching this movie, I watched a little promo where Stephen King basically says, if you want to do something right, you got to do it yourself.
Mm.
It's like a little braggy, guess what? I'm directing now.
Because this obviously came out after The Shining, correct? And he is very well known for hating that movie.
Yeah, he seems to not like the movies that are made about his stories.
Yeah.
Which is so funny to me because... surprise, surprise, this movie blew. It was really bad. He knows that, too. He has been asked why he hasn't directed a movie since.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, have you not seen Maximum Overdrive? Like, go watch Maximum Overdrive and you know why I don't direct anymore. And it's true. This movie's bad.
So when
but
you
we'll
say,
get into that.
When you say it blew, let me just say it blew me out of the water.
Oh, new favorite for you?
I wouldn't say new favorite, but there's a lot that I like about this movie.
A lot to
chew
on.
This movie is rocking. But we'll get into that.
Yeah. I mean, Emilio Estevez, what can go wrong? So just real quick to give you a quick summary before we dive in.
Ooh. Can I give you the summary since usually you do the summary?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Man, I like how excited I was, and now I'm very unprepared. Is this what it feels like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, this sucks.
Yeah, we're both learning...
new
you know what
today.
The other one feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, here is what I gathered from this movie. So I guess there is some. Yeah, there's like a little bit of text before the movie. And it's like, hey, the Earth is in the tail of a comet that passed by. And because of this, this ends up causing all of the electronics like cars and other electronic things to come to life. And we end up focusing on this group of people stuck inside of a diner as they are slowly surrounded by trucks and they're trying to figure out what is going on and how to survive. Huh?
That was great.
All right.
I like that it wasn't too spoilery, too. It's like you get the synopsis in there, you get the key points, but we still have some surprises coming our way.
Many surprises.
Yeah. Maybe surprises you'll like and maybe surprises you won't like.
I think I liked most of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, right off the bat, the intro text to me, totally unnecessary. Very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like...
It threw me off immediately.
It feels like this story is so important. You need all the details. Almost like weirdly putting it side by side to a movie like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's like, you really don't need to explain. Just show a meteor real quick and then you're good. The rest of the movie is so simple. It's
very straightforward.
Yeah. And then we also, later on, we'll also end with a... We'll also end with more text, more exposition, totally unneeded, in my opinion.
That one threw me for a loop, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, very confused, very confused.
Hopefully you'll be able to answer some of the questions I have at the end of this movie, since you loved it so much.
Oh, yeah. Man, deep dive. One of my favorite movies. No, this movie's trash. So you were right. There's like a meteor trail. So the movie opens basically with people on a freeway, and then you see... these electronics kind of acting on their own,
which I thought was great, because some of the first things you see, it's like a sign on a bank or something. And it's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then we have a director cameo as well. We see,
Stephen King
go up to an ATM. And it's like, you are an asshole.
Yeah. And he says, honey, come on over here, sugar buns. This machine just called me an asshole. And that leads into, I hated the writing in this movie. This movie made me not like Stephen King as a person.
Uh-huh.
All the characters made me so mad. Not all the characters. 80, 90% of the characters.
There was
made me
not
so angry.
A lot of likable characters in this.
No. Again, like, we're on the freeway, like, right after that. Oh, chaos. So electronics start acting on their own. Chaos ensues. Cars crashing into each other.
There's like this bridge that... gets activated.
Yeah, like a drawbridge.
And people are on it. And again, like you
people
just said,
people are falling
chaos.
All over, and cars are crashing into themselves and stuff.
Bang and start.
Yeah, great start. Great start. But then, yeah, the first characters we're introduced to are already so unlikable. We have dudes, like a dude picking his nose. Mm-hmm. Everyone just seems, it almost seems like a caricature of like Southern, like the way they're speaking, like Southern twang, and they're dirty and mm-hmm. and like scratching their chins and picking their noses and calling people sugar tits and stuff. It's like, ugh.
Did it say where this movie took place?
I don't believe it did. I mean, I'm sure it did. I'm guessing somewhere in the South, because the main cast of mm-hmm. characters that we are introduced to are at a quick stop called like Dixie Boy or something like that.
Yeah.
And that just feels Southern. Also, just everyone has, I'm assuming Texas.
It does have a bit of like accents. I think also just like the way they're dressed as well.
Right.
It's obviously a hot environment.
Right. Everyone's pretty sweaty.
Although, again, this was the 80s. Most movies in the 80s, everyone is sweaty.
Yeah. You know, and again, we've said this before, but something that's missing from a lot of modern films mm-hmm. is just sweaty people.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are sweaty in real life. You got to have your actors be sweaty looking.
Let's not forget, the last time you were requesting some sweaty people to appear on screen, you got your wish and you very much regretted it. Man, so many of these movies are so sweaty.
I feel like that's honestly something that's kind of lost in new movies. Is
yeah,
like
I think it was just an 80s thing.
The dirtiness of it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, a sweaty butt. Ew, I regret. I changed my mind. I don't like sweaty movies anymore. Ew.
Hey, man, you asked and that's what you get.
Ugh, something. He's just a little tush. Get that out of here.
That's a callback to our From Beyond episode. And by episode, I mean commentary.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. So, you know, things are going haywire.
It's just chaos everywhere.
We meet essentially our main cast.
Mm-hmm. All working at this
little truck stop.
Yeah.
And we see trucks starting up on their own, driving on their own, almost running people over.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a T-ball game.
Oh, yeah.
Where the coach.
Oh, this is great. I love this scene.
Like. The vending machine
mm-hmm.
malfunctions and shoots a can like into his dick.
Yeah.
And then just pelts him to, I think, death.
To death, because he gets hit in the head and you see one of the kids like walk up to him and there's like a shot of his head and there's just like this bloody mark directly like on his head.
Yeah, like direct center, which is crazy to me. I feel like how did that, it like almost cut a little circle out of his head.
Just the amount of force this robot was shooting him with.
And I believe that's kill number one.
It must be.
And spoiler alert, I don't know all the kills in this movie. I'm going to track as much as I can. Somewhere along the way, just got real tedious. Most of the kills are like, there's another guy who's dead. I don't know. It doesn't show a lot of them as part of it. Yeah. I don't know if that counts as like a kill.
So usually I take notes constantly throughout a movie. Mm-hmm. And so I liked that switching it up this time. I took a few notes here and there, but I wasn't, you know, keeping track of the movie as fully as I mm-hmm. do note wise. So this was a nice change of pace. So I don't really have the kills either.
Yeah, this movie is very chaotic.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know what? So is this podcast.
Yep.
Like I had mentioned earlier, this episode's a little different, meaning I've taken control, which means...
help.
Steve has no control here. It's going to be all over the place because I also took very sparing notes. We're just going to jump around, hit different spots, probably out of order. That's yep. okay.
Yeah, that's
I've already
fine.
Talked about the end a little bit. But mainly, I just want to get your opinion because...
Oh, definitely.
I was not angry, mm-hmm. but many times while watching this thought, God, I wish I could turn this off.
Let it be known as well, for the record, you did pick this movie.
That was part of why I was like mad at myself. Because I would also imagine you sitting uh-huh. and watching this movie. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what have I done? What am I bringing? But it sounds like
I enjoyed
you enjoyed
more,
the film
more of this than I thought I would.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Shit. Vending machine guy wasn't kill number one. He was kill number two. Arcade guy was kill number one.
Oh yeah, arcade guy.
Yeah, just a guy in an arcade. I thought that was going to play a bigger part.
I did too. Did you recognize the actor, by the way?
No, who was that?
It's the guy from Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh shit, no way.
Yeah.
The leader of
Los Pollos Chickens.
Locos or whatever. Yes. Loco. That's insane.
Yeah. He looks I so
not,
young.
Yeah, he's like 19 or something in this, it looks like.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's crazy. I did not place him at all.
So going back to that scene at the ballpark with the kids, mm-hmm. there's another great death that we have where a steamroller gets activated.
That's
and a
right.
kid like falls off of his bike or he just eats shit for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And the steamroller just fucking goes straight over him. I was
yeah,
like,
just smushes him.
This is great. This is spectacular. This is, oh, love it.
You would have liked that scene even more mm-hmm. if it weren't for the censors on this movie. Apparently, Stephen King asked them to put like a big bag full of blood under the steamroller so that it would show on the roller like a printing press. Mm-hmm. And it blew up too early. So it looks like, or originally, it looked like the steamroller was rolling over the kid's head and it just burst into like blood and chunks.
What?
But yeah, the censors were pissed and they're like, no, you can't show a kid's head exploding.
So oh man,
they made him remove it, so it just shows the scene. I mean, it's what was originally the scene intended, was originally, I guess.
Oh,
so
man, that would have been great so much scene. More fun though. Would have added yeah. more of that horrific element.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's weird as our roles are reversed in the podcast mm-hmm. as our role, well, I guess not reverse because you still want gore, but I also feel like there should have been more gore in this movie.
Maybe it's because it's a Stephen King related thing and he is essentially a master in horror.
Right.
And his stories and the books, mm-hmm. understandably, like every writer, he has his ups and downs. But when I think of horror, when I think of Stephen King, I think of like intense stuff going on.
That's what's so surprising to me is that's kind of what I thought going in, like, mm-hmm. well, this will be suspenseful, but it also didn't feel suspenseful.
It was not suspenseful at all.
It seemed like he was trying to like, you know, it'd be fun doing more of the campy kind of gory horror movies like Chopping Mall. It mm-hmm. seems like that's kind of what he was aiming for. And what came out was something different. Interesting, whether you liked it or not, something different, I think.
I mean, if that was his idea or his goal, I applaud him for trying it because
yeah.
you can have a fun horror movie. As totally. You just said, Chopping Mall. I think that movie's a hoot and a holler and mm-hmm. it's horror related. But yeah, something kind of went wrong with this one, if that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I mean, a lot of the... It's just the characters are so unlikable that the comedy yeah. falls flat to me. A lot of like just harassing women throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
A lot of like, hey, sugar plum, get over here, and like grabbing them by the like, let me grab your leg. And it's just like, ugh.
There's this one guy who's just like wants to watch his wife pee. And then
oh, that's right.
Then when he's in the sewer, He's like, ooh, what does it taste like? That was weird, man.
Yeah, just bad vibes through the whole movie.
There's
yeah.
a couple that shows up that just got married, and the husband, he's just a weird dude. Mm-hmm. I did not get good vibes from him.
Yeah, the quote from the pee scene I have here is, they're driving together in the car.
Uh-huh.
And he says, oh, man, we got to stop and get some gas. And she says, well, that's good because I've got to go to the ladies. And he says, can I come in and watch?
Yeah.
And that's the girl in the scene is the voice of Lisa Simpson.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
Very unsettling. And that's like one of the main characters. It's not even like, ew, this gross guy. It's like, mm-hmm. no, one of our likable.
Look at that likable.
Just a little flirting. Oh, let me come in and watch you pee in this gas station.
All right. Hey, don't let me yuck your yum. Ew.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's what the kids say now.
So again, to circle back, because I don't know how well you're following along at this point.
We're all over the bloody shot.
The trucks are coming live, essentially.
Yes. I got to say.
Electronics, but mainly trucks.
Yeah. The main truck, I guess, the one you see on the cover.
The antagonist, kind of, in a way.
I love that truck. It uses the Green Goblin mask, like on the front of it.
Right.
And that is just such a cool
thing. Which is great. Thing. Very, very iconic.
And as, you know, big comic book fans ourselves, mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. Love it.
I was a little curious, like, how they did that. Because I'm assuming, I mean, it's copyrighted. Sure. It's a copyrighted character. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the same studio or something. Or maybe they just did whatever they wanted.
I'm going to say half. It's probably they did whatever they wanted. And also, I feel like at this time, what was this, 86? Marvel 80s, baby. Was not, you know, they were doing comics. They weren't doing much else.
True.
Do you remember hearing that whole thing back in like the early 90s where they were doing so bad they were having to sell filing cabinets to like pay things off and stay really? Afloat? Yeah, that's why all of like their characters got sold off to different studios is because they're like, we need money.
Mm-hmm.
And
look at them now.
I'm thinking, maybe they were just able to easily secure those rights because Marvel's just like, I guess.
Like, I don't know, just give us $20. You can use them if you want.
Yeah. As opposed to now, where if you want to use something like that, it's like, well, give us your whole life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. They're owned by Disney now.
Mm-hmm.
If this movie was made today, Disney would be all over it.
100%.
But it's great. And apparently, like that mask, it's still floating around out there. Like it, yeah, because again, like you said, it's so iconic and everyone loved it. So it was sold off multiple times. A guy bought it and hung it up in his video store for like 20 years or something. Ended up in someone's garage for another 20. And then it was restored. And now it's apparently traveling all over to different like comic conventions and like horror conventions. So maybe
cool.
One of these times we'll be able to go see it.
I think that would be something I wouldn't mind having like a kind of a smaller replica of.
Oh, totally.
And just having like hung up on my wall.
Me too. Yeah, I would love that. So yeah, at this point in the movie, mainly it's just some mild things. Like we see a truck mirror tilt to watch our main characters at this truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trucks kind of goes rogue and almost runs a guy over. One of them hits a guy, I think, even. So they're getting nervous, but it's kind of like, whoa, that's weird. These electronics are malfunctioning.
There was a scene when they were inside of the diner where the waitress was cooking food and she had like a little saw for
like an electronic knife from the 80s. Yeah.
And that started to come alive and like it starts to cut her. And I got very excited because I was like, oh, man,
It was going to kill her.
I thought it was going to maybe just chop off her arm or something. I was like, this is very Stephen King. Like, oh, someone's going to lose some sort of arm. We're going to see some gore to like get things going.
Right.
And it just kind of like cuts her a little bit.
Instead, it chunked into her hand.
Just a tiny bit. And then our main character just hits it with a hammer.
Well, it also falls on the ground and then it like chops her shoe a little bit.
Ah,
so
much potential.
Go.
Yeah.
Bloodthirst.
Yeah.
Quenched by a shoe cut.
That's when I was a little, my expectations were starting to kind of get.
Me too. That's funny. At that exact moment, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's it, which is weird for me.
Uh-huh.
Cause I'm like, gore, I don't know. And then here I was like, we're about to get a good kill. So I'm weirdly moving over to that territory.
Mm-hmm.
And then chonked on the shoe. And it was like, all right, well,
I'll beat you with a hammer.
This is the kind of movie that we're going to be watching apparently. And it made me sad.
Although I don't remember if this was before or after that scene, but we have the kid who escaped on a bicycle from the softball game or the baseball game.
Right. We and follow him for a while.
We do. And he ends up going through his town or just a town. Mm-hmm. And I thought this scene was very well done. I thought that this was very cool because we see the aftermath of all of the electronics and cars having
people
just
are
like
dead everywhere.
Taking its toll on this one part of the town where there are like bodies hanging out from windows or people in cars with blood coming down their head.
Yeah. There's, and it always kind of hints at what killed him too. Yeah. Like there's a man on a porch swing and he has a, it doesn't make sense. I'll tell you that.
It doesn't.
There's a guy on a porch swing with like a walk. What is this called?
Tape deck.
A Walkman.
A Walkman, tape deck.
And, with his headphones in and he's bleeding from the ears, which is like, huh? And then it shows a dog, which you don't got to do that.
That one. Yeah. I was like,
with
oh,
like
no.
a toy.
It's a toy car.
Toy police car jammed in its mouth?
Yeah.
I was like, how are these kills happening? But, you know, it was cool to be like, okay, cool. It's taking over this town or potentially the world.
I have a theory for the headphones guy.
Okay.
It played music so loud, it exploded his brain.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some powerful little headphones.
Hey, they made things pretty crazy back in the
day.
Right. They didn't care about
no safety.
And safety.
That's right. I totally agree with you.
But yeah, that whole town scene I thought was very well done. Just the kind of mystery of not seeing what happened, but leaving it up to our minds while also having little hints to what was going on. And it's just this kid biking through and he's just like, I hate this. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I could be remembering wrong again, which is real great because I'm supposed to be kind of bringing us through this. But that kid didn't seem to play that big of a part in the movie. I feel like he was kind of, we were following him for a while and then mainly we just followed the gas station people for a really long time. And then I think he showed up at the end.
Yeah, he shows up towards the end because he's trying to get to his dad who works at this station.
Right.
And once he shows up, they're like, oh yeah, your dad's dead. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, that scene, it was like, is my dad here? And they're like, I forget the line, but it was really weird. So you're welcome.
One of them is like, I'm not going to answer that fully. Just get some rest. And then one of the asshole characters is like, he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
It felt like a weird culmination of that whole side story. Mm-hmm. Is that he just shows up and they're like, yeah, your dad's dead, by the way.
Well, since we're on that, let me talk about how I feel about some of this movie when it comes to the pacing. Because I thought the pacing was not great.
No.
So it focuses a lot on this setup of all of these characters getting to the gas station, with the exception of the kid. He does show up later. But once they're there, that's pretty much the setting for this movie, which bits of that I liked because it's one of those, it's a situation where it's this group of characters held up in a situation, a terrifying situation. Mm-hmm.
Similar to like The Mist.
Exactly.
Which did it really well, I think.
But once they're there, just like nothing really happens.
Yeah. That was my problem with this movie as well. Which is kind of why it's hard to run through the whole movie is because it gets to the gas station and then nothing really happens.
Yeah, exactly.
For a large chunk of the movie.
It's just kind of some talking or trying to figure out what their next move is.
Some weird kind of like the one of the girls and Emilio Estevez are kind of like flirty in a weird way that came out of nowhere. And then I guess they're together.
Yeah, real fast that happened.
It was like now you guys are a couple.
Maybe it's because they feel like the end of the world is happening. Just, right. You know, let's fall in love.
Also confusing, the timeline of the movie.
Yeah.
Do you know how much time passes from the start of this movie to the end of this movie? Because I don't. It made it sound like I was going to give you an answer, but.
Oh, interesting. I thought I did.
It feels like a long time passes.
There's at least 2, possibly 3 days that happen. Because we do see at least one night scene.
Right.
The, not Emilio Estevez, the lady character. Her name is Brett.
Brett, okay.
So Brett does mention, she brings up the fact that they are in the tail of a comet. And maybe this is some weird stuff happening because of that.
Right.
And they need to last 7 days, I think it is. Or it'll last a week. She does use that number specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only kind of reference to a time that I have, but clearly because the trucks are still moving, if her theory is correct, it hasn't been 7 days yet.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I totally forgot about that. So start to finish 7 days sounds like, but it feels like it, like you're saying, the pacing is so off that the first half of the movie is a day maybe. And then we jump a couple days. And then we jump a couple more days, and then it's the end of the week, which threw me off a bunch because it would just cut again, jumping ahead. Mm-hmm. It would just cut to people like looking really disheveled and tired and like exhausted. And it's like, huh, that's it's only been like an hour, but I guess it's been a week.
So now that you say that, there's these scenes later on once they learn what's going on, I guess. Mm-hmm. So like this. Once the kid joins up with the group, this military vehicle shows up with a machine gun on it.
Right.
And they're able to kind of find out what the machines want, what the trucks want. Because it ends up Morse coding to the kid who understands Morse code.
Yeah, it shows the horn being pushed like by itself.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, wait, it's Morse. And they're like, are you sure? And it's like, clearly it's fucking Morse code.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, of course I'm sure. I was a second badge Boy Scout or whatever the hell he says.
And they're able to find out that the trucks just want gas.
Yeah, they want food.
Like, I think the message says, give us gas or feed us and we'll let you live.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are scenes of just trucks from everywhere showing up. And this is when it goes back to what you're saying. They're looking disheveled at certain points because they're just spending so much time filling up gas. I honestly don't have any idea how many days that took or how long that took or how much gas was at that station.
Because
it seems like they do it for a while.
Yeah, because the way they are acting makes it seem like they've been there for weeks.
Yeah.
They're like dirty and like barely holding on and can like it's hard to stand. Like, I've been doing this for days. And it's like, I think it's only been like a day. Like, nurses work harder than this multiple times a week. And you're just standing and pumping gas. They're not being beaten. That's part of it, too, is the whole concept is just kind of goofy to me because they're big ass trucks. They can run you over and stuff. They just can't accelerate very fast.
True.
You know what I mean? It's like 0 to 60 isn't it takes them a while to get up to speed. And their main threat is like, we're going to ram into your building or whatever,
which is
scary, I guess.
Now there's one with a machine gun, too.
Right. Well, that's where the real threat. See, once the gun shows up, it's kind of like, OK, well,
yeah,
now it can just blast us to pieces. Going back to the Morse code thing, they're saying, basically feed us gas or we're going to kill you. Right.
Mm hmm.
What's funny is Emilio Estevez's character. He's like, well, why don't we just not feed them? Because then they'll just run out of gas and then they'll be powerless. And then
I might have missed this part somehow.
And then I don't remember, but someone's basically like, no, we have to. But I don't remember the reasoning. I was hoping you would remember.
Nope, sure don't.
Because I was like, yeah, why don't they just wait until they run out of gas? Especially if at this point they're like, hey, we really need gas. Give us gas. And if they're like, no, we'll just bunker down and not.
Okay, what it was is that the machine gun would have killed them.
Mm.
That's what it was. It's like,
so it's like gunpoint, basically like robbing them of their gas.
If that machine gun car hadn't shown up, they would have been able to
have
the things
run
out of gas.
Chance, right?
But now that they have their actual, like there's something here that can kill them.
And it does make sense that they're at a truck stop. You know, that's why they're kind of being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's why we're following this group is because all the evil trucks are showing up at to be fueled.
It's just an unfortunate coincidence that they just all happen to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So a scene about that I really like is you'll see shots of everyone inside or it'll be a wide shot of the restaurant itself. And you just see trucks circling around.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of like a shark circling their prey and all that.
Oh yeah.
And I thought that was just very cool and very terrifying because I mean, at a certain point, maybe it's like 15 of these trucks, maybe more circling around. And you were saying, yeah, it's hard for a truck that of that size to like do some damage. But when there's that many.
Right. And if they're already like at speed, if you try and run, they could just be like, one of them is going to get you.
Yeah. One of them is going to get you. And you're still trying to understand why they haven't come into the store yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is my one safe spot. Do I really want to risk leaving?
Right.
What's the reasoning for this right now?
I think what it comes down to is Stephen King just being a bad director for me. And like the concept is kind of there. It's goofy, but it's it could be scarier if it was done better. You know Definitely. What I mean? Like really show the speed of the trucks and mm-hmm. them circling. Like you said, the idea of them circling like sharks, it's kind of cool. And
yeah,
just communicating that a little bit better.
Maybe if the cinematography was a little bit better too, that would have yeah. helped emphasize this movie.
And it does make sense that according to Stephen King himself, he was coked up through this whole movie. Mm. So making this movie, he's like, I don't know what was happening. I was super high just the whole time.
Would that explain the soundtrack for this movie? Because let me say, I love the soundtrack. It's AC/DC. Exclusively AC/DC. Mm-hmm. It was very much just a rockin' tune or a rockin' soundtrack, which I think encapsulated this entire movie perfectly.
Oh, very much so. It definitely, if you're going to choose like an artist
yeah.
for Maximum Overdrive, a movie about essentially evil trucks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, AC/DC.
It's going to be rocking and rolling, mm-hmm. baby.
That was a choice that I fully agreed with. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, good job. And that was Stephen King specifically. He was like, oh, we need AC/DC for this movie. I was like, oh, okay.
And great job. What you were saying, I feel like AC/DC is something that maybe a little bit of a coked out person would be like, yeah, let's do this on the soundtrack, yeah, the entire yeah. thing. Let's rock.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very much so like a rock and roll movie as far as like Maximum Overdrive, evil trucks and AC/DC and like,
yeah,
you know, Emilio Estevez playing like a rebel character. And, you know,
this is the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
So another funny thing about this is that I guess it's the gas station owner. The guy who plays Gordon in the Batman movies, mm-hmm. he has just like this cellar filled with guns.
Yeah, not only guns, just like
he has like a fucking,
he has a bazooka.
Yeah,
a bazooka and like just racks and racks of like AK-47s mm-hmm. and a semi-automatic weapons. And they don't explain it. He's just like, oh, I'm like, you know, what would you even call that? Armored up or whatever.
It's a bit of a gun nut.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Maybe that's why they had this set in the South. They're like, yeah, maybe a guy who owns a gas station in the South would have just like an insane amount of weaponry in his basement.
Which, to be fair, those guns did come in handy at certain points because right. they blow up at least like 3 or 4 trucks.
Right. Yeah, most of my notes are honestly just crazy lines from the movie because, again, the writing is insane in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, these characters are insane people.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of there's a scene where something, I don't even remember what's happening because all I wrote down is son of a bitch, out of my way, bitch. And this guy like pushes this young woman out of his way.
I remember that, but I don't remember the context.
And
of
he's
it.
The like Bible salesman who tries to like sexually harass the young girl in the car in the
yeah.
early scenes of this movie. He's like, oh, sugar plum, this and that. And
I think
putting his hand on her leg and stuff. And she,
I think it was because his car started up by itself. Mm. You said it was a car salesman, right?
Bible salesman, yeah.
Bible
yeah.
salesman,
but
yeah.
he was in the car, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, they end up parking, and I think his car starts to come to life, and he runs after it, and then it hits him, and that's why he ends up rolling into a ditch.
Right, because they're like, we have to go save him.
Because you just and hear him like, screaming for a while. He's like, help! Ah!
Yeah, he just like, screamed in agony for like...
That's annoying.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a bad person. I don't know if I would have saved that guy.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's for a handful of reasons.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not, I mean, if you got to risk your own life to go save this dude, who's essentially just like, just a huge piece of shit,
mm-hmm.
just a huge piece of dog poop.
I guess it's either that or just listen to him scream for hours.
Mm-hmm. And then again, just to go back to like the characters in this movie and the way it's shot, mm-hmm. like the scene, someone goes into the bathroom to speak to
another guy,
another character, a woman, I believe. Or no, is it a man?
I think it's a matter. Man.
But, and then there's these like pooping sound effects uh-huh. and farting sound effects that were overdubbed in the scene.
Yeah.
Totally for no reason. Where they're like, hey, you know, we're talking about, we need to get out of here. We need to collect this and that. And it's like, I was like, what is this guy?
I think that's the scene where Emilio Estevez is talking to just like another just bad person, or yeah. a shit person.
And shit person.
And like, as the conversation's getting to the end or he's trying to make a bigger point, he just, you know, goes over the stall and starts talking to the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you didn't need to do that.
No,
you can literally just hear him right there.
Yeah. You don't need to see what's
watching
going on.
A dude take a shit.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just wanted to watch people do other things in the bathroom.
Yeah. Pee and poo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two things you do in a bathroom. Yeah, totally unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Both him looking over the stall and the just poo sounds. Mm-hmm. After reading that he was doing coke through this movie, it made so much more sense to me.
It is, yeah.
Because it's just
coming together
all over the place.
I know going over, it doesn't sound like I enjoyed it, but there is a lot that I really got a big kick out of.
Maybe I mean, the general concept is kind of fun.
It's a fun concept. It's
goofy fun. Like,
yeah,
a meteor trail, like, brings trucks to life and they start killing people. That mm-hmm. part, that's what drew me to the movie in the first place.
Maybe I'm just kind of blanking a little bit, too, because, like, we've gotten to the part of the movie where essentially things just stop. They're just inside the diner.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to do themselves.
A lot of people just being shitty in a diner, and then Emilio Estevez and this girl, like, having sex randomly. That surprised me also.
I think, like, one of the couples, like, he was just, like, finger blasting his wife, too, at a certain point. Like, just yeah. right there with everybody.
Yeah. I don't know if I remember that. You, like, fell asleep during the movie and woke up, had a little dream. No, I wouldn't be surprised. There was definitely some moments where I feel like my brain started to kind of turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'd glance at my phone a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was looking at trivia for the movie. I'm like, I don't fucking care about this.
I mean, you're bringing some great trivia to the table, so that's important.
I mean, there's that. I might not know, just like always, just many scenes from this movie, but I know some trivia.
But like I'm saying, things don't kind of change until the military vehicle with the machine gun shows up
mm-hmm.
and it tells them what to do. And then they just spend however long, maybe it's hours, maybe it's a couple of days, filling up these trucks. Which another cool shot is of just hundreds of trucks on the highway
mm-hmm.
coming towards this one gas station to get filled up.
Yeah, very Field like of that. Dreams.
Yeah. And up until that point, nothing happens until they decide they have to get out of there, I guess. Yeah,
he's like, we've had enough of this. Well, they even say to the gas, like,
the gas hey, runs we're all out.
But we're out of gas, like, get out of here. And the trucks are like, nice fucking try. You got more gas in there. And I think they just...
Because they did, right? He goes to another thing. Yeah.
And he's like, all right, fine. I'll go undo the other thing and refuel up. But then at some point, yeah, they reach the end of their rope.
A breaking point, I guess.
And like, you know what? We're not going to give them gas anymore.
Yeah.
And then one girl says,
running out of food.
I hope they choke on it. In like the most dramatic scene out of nowhere for no reason. I hope they choke on it. And then... yeah, they're all kind of losing it. There's that one woman who repeats that same line over and over and over.
Oh,
would
yeah.
she say, we made you.
Yeah,
we made you.
Until she like finally runs out and yells that and just gets shot by the fucking machine mm-hmm. gun.
There was another part to it, too. It was something like, you can't do this. We made you. Mm-hmm. We made you. It's like, we get it, lady. We get it.
I feel like even Emilio Estevez says that at some point. He's like, all right.
He's like, okay, we understand. Yes, we made the trucks. Okay. I mean, we didn't, but humans did.
So they finally end up leaving. How does that happen?
Well, Emilio smacks the gun on somehow. He sneaks up and like
he drops a grenade.
That's right. And then he spins the gun on top of the gun car or mm-hmm. whatever. So it starts shooting in a full circle and starts like shooting other trucks and mm-hmm. can't aim at anyone for whatever reason. And then, yeah, a grenade. And then they all.
Did they fire off a few missiles too? To like get out of
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Well, all... crazy, crazy. We made you, lady.
She
grabs
cops
the bazooka. The bazooka. And that's where she dies. But she gets at least one off and like turns the tide a little bit, I believe.
And then they all just end up fleeing on foot.
Mm hmm.
Oh,
because you know, you can't take a car.
Remember this bit. So when they're fleeing, they all have guns and everything. And they're hiding by a fast food restaurant. And the order thing where we put your order starts like saying, alert, alert, people are here or something like that. And the kid like takes a gun and he walks up to it and he just fires it. And he's like, oh, I'm done now. You're like, I just avenged my father. He drops the gun or something.
Nice one, kid. Yeah, shoot that fast food speaker. Jesus. This movie very much feels like an alternate universe Transformers to mm-hmm. me, where it's like all the trucks come alive. And instead of being like, we're fighting each other for the Power Cube or whatever.
What's it's called Energon.
That's Jeff? Right. Excuse me. Jesus. That's the cube thing that brings him to life?
Well, all right. Are we talking about the movie? Like, are we talking about like the cartoon series? Are we talking about the Michael Bay movies?
Well, what's it in the cartoon?
In the cartoon, they're after Energon cubes, which helps them function.
What about the movies?
In the movie, they call that the Allspark.
The Allspark. Okay, cool. But fuck those movies. So
that first one, I think, is...
The first one is good. You're right.
All right. I'm going to go on a quick rant. Since we're talking about trucks, I mean, this is involved.
Exactly. This is part. This is basically Transformers is a sequel to this, so we can talk about it.
Everyone who knows me, I have told multiple times that when I saw the first Transformers movie back in 2007, I loved it. And I ended up seeing it six more times, or I saw it six times in total in theaters.
Yowzer.
In one summer. I saw it with my buddy Qualls. And so a couple of months ago, or maybe it was like last month, its 15th anniversary came back around. And I, of course, had to go see that in theaters. And I did. And let me tell you, it has aged... Not great. There are still some nostalgic moments that I keep from it. I still think it's a fun movie. I still think it's the best of the Michael Bay films. But there are also some bits where I'm just like, ooh, don't do that.
Would you say you liked Transformers or Maximum Overdrive more?
Probably Transformers.
Okay.
Yeah, from 2007. Close call. My seventh time in theaters, everyone. So
That's right. A full seven.
So yeah, Transformers, definitely more. Definitely more.
That makes sense. That's fair.
Because
this was made in the 80s.
None of these cars said their classic catchphrase, let's transform to a truck.
That's right. Yeah, I gotta say, I might have liked this movie more if the trucks talked.
Sure. Oh man, that would have given this movie a whole other vibe.
Exactly. Like, feed us. We are hungry for gas or whatever, you know?
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. And then there's one that like only talks using the radio.
Oh, God. Now we're going really into Transformers fucking shit there.
So Stephen King, this is just random trivia. Stephen King originally wanted to cast Bruce Springsteen in the role that Emilio Estevez got.
That would have been fucking rad.
Yeah. Definitely. I get the vibe he's going for. Very like Americana, like jeans, George Michael, you know?
I wonder if Bruce Springsteen would have sung a song in this.
Like on screen. He should play himself in the movie. Bruce is the main character and he's like, oh no, I'm on tour and my tour bus turns evil also.
Oh, wow.
And so they're stuck at this like gas station and then he sings a song on the roof to like.
Born to USA. On. No trucks are gonna stop me. Hey.
And the trucks are like, no, our one weakness.
Our one weakness, Bruce Springsteen.
And then they all kind of electrify and power down.
And that gives them the opportunity to escape.
Yeah, it's like the scene in Stranger Things where he's on the roof.
Where Eddie's
on the roof playing the guitar. They would do that in this movie. We could make a better Maximum Overdrive.
We could.
If Bruce Springsteen agreed to be in it.
Ah, that's where it gets tough. I feel like we could apply to Stephen King and be like, hey, man, we would like to remake this movie.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, all right.
He's like, sure, whatever. Yeah. I love his promo for the movie, how smug it was.
I did not watch that.
I know. You really got to watch it.
Is this something I can like put a clip in? Or how long is
totally.
It?
Totally. No, it's short.
Okay.
Yeah. It definitely dropped all his little promo in.
The clip is going in now.
Hi. My name is Stephen King. I've written several motion pictures, but I want to tell you about a movie called Maximum Overdrive, which is the first one I've directed.
Wow. What in the dickens is going on around here?
A lot of people have directed Stephen King novels and stories. And I finally decided if you want something done right, you ought to do it yourself.
Who was driving it?
I don't know.
Curtis! It's coming after us!
It was my first picture as a director. And you know something? I sort of enjoyed it.
What is going on?
I don't know!
I just wanted someone to do Stephen King right.
You want a war? You got one.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
So come and spend some time with me and my friends at the Dixie Boy. Spend some time in the dark.
Please don't let us be in the dark.
Help me.
I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
And I got to say, watching that right now made this movie look much different than the movie I watched.
Yeah, it didn't look bad, right? It looked kind of like...
It looked like it could have been like spooky or like an intense kind of thriller horror.
That's what it was missing is the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of low key through the whole movie. And that kind of trailer made it seem so like intense. And the way he's like, I'm going to terrorize you. That's a promise or whatever he says.
Oh, someone lied to us.
Yeah. And funnily enough, one of the reasons that trailer is probably, you know, a lot better than the movie itself is they used the score from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch in that trailer.
I was going to say that sounded super fucking familiar.
Yeah. Little callback to our previous episode, which was totally a coincidence.
That's a fucking coincidence right there.
Yeah. Considering I just Googled like bad horror movies and Maximum Overdrive came up, and that's how this came about.
That's super fun.
Yeah. And it lived up to its ranking on that list of bad horror movies.
Maybe they were just bad. They were just like showing a lot of the action scenes from the movie.
Just every action scene back to back.
That's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh no, there's still all of this time we have to fill.
That's insane to me that he's so bold to say.
Oh my God. He sounded so confident.
Yeah. Finally a Stephen King movie done right or whatever. And it's like, dude, Stanley Kubrick did The Shining and you're coming out here claiming to be a better director. How crazy.
Hey, you know what? The balls it takes to say that, I guess respect. You're wrong.
And but like you said, he does look, even in that trailer, like he's probably on coke.
Yeah.
He's like, this is going to be the best movie of all time. And then he sobers up and it's like, ooh, yikes. My bad. He actually called it, he's quoted as calling this movie a moron movie.
Oh, yeah. I take that personally. Although I'm not surprised that you've seen some of the other movies that I like. So,
and Yeardley Smith is like super embarrassed and she doesn't like talking about this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's saying something.
Yeah.
Well, our movie does finally end with them escaping to a dock because I think throughout the movie, Emilio Estevez talked about how there's this island without any technology on it, I think is what he said. And so that's their whole goal. That's what they're trying to escape to now.
Right.
Maybe they weren't sure if it was real or not. And that's why they didn't like try escaping before.
Right.
But now that they're so desperate.
They're like, what are you going to lose at this point?
Yeah. We're going to die the gas runs out anyways.
Mm-hmm. And they're just going to crush us. So they're like, let's do it.
Then we see the kid shoot the fast food speaker, which is great. And they finally make it to the dock, but they end up being pursued by the villain of this movie, I guess, the
Green Goblin truck.
Yeah.
Or the Happy Tots truck, I believe, is what it says on the side. It's like a clown truck.
Kind of reminds me of like a sex toy shop.
Huh. That's spooky. Green Goblin being the mascot of your sex toy shop.
Enjoy the sex.
Uh-oh, new business? Maybe not. Fun fact, the way they controlled these vehicles was they actually just hired ghosts to just drive the trucks around.
Like real live ghosts?
Yeah.
Ha! Ghosts aren't alive, you fool.
Uh-oh. Well, then how did they get paid for this stupid movie?
So they finally end up escaping and they get to the dock and they end up blowing up the Green Goblin truck, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up sailing away on a sailboat, which I had a question for a hot minute because I was thinking, like, why wouldn't the sailboat turn on them? But it's a sailboat. It's not like a regular boat.
Oh, no, that makes so much sense. I was wondering that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, probably has like a radar or something. I guess you could. Well, maybe not. I guess that's just regular boats also.
Yeah.
Emilio, you smarter than me.
And then the movie finally ends with another one of those title cards. And it says, 2 days later, a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian, quote-unquote, weather satellite, which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and Class 4 nuclear missiles. Approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of the comet, exactly as predicted.
All right, so what does that mean to you?
My God.
So much information here. I would say more happens in this paragraph than in the entire movie.
Yeah. So
there's a UFO is introduced.
Yes.
Also, what sounds like some kind of Russian conspiracy that there's a weaponized Russian satellite that people are aware of aliens, maybe, and that we have a defense system set up. That's, I don't know what is happening.
So much. So was it aliens causing this whole fucking like electrical disturbance thing?
I think so. But why? What's up with the comet then? And the comet trail?
You got me.
Like, why the UFO? I thought it was. I don't even know.
What if the aliens were the ones controlling the machines, but the aliens are invisible?
Oh, they're on the ground.
Fucked if I know, man.
Wait, so, I mean, it would make sense if they're like, oh, turns out the comet was a UFO.
Mm-hmm. But they're saying...
And the trail had nothing to do with it. It was just a UFO being like, we're going to kill a bunch of people by being trucks, I guess. And like...
But wasn't it just saying that like the comet did eventually pass 6 days later? Well, maybe that answers my question. Maybe only one day has gone by in this entire movie. Because remember, Brett says it's going to be 7 days for the tail to leave.
Yeah, let's do the math really quick here.
And then according to this, it says approximately 6 days later.
So it is one day. Wow. These people can't put in a single day's worth of work pumping gas without physically breaking down.
So yeah, they were there.
He's like, I'll take over. And she's like, I hope they choke on it. It's like, you guys are fine, Jesus.
I guess maybe 2 days tops. So the movie starts off, it's day one. Night comes because that's when they go into the sewer and try to rescue the Bible salesman. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I guess, is when they have to feed gas to the trucks. And they escape at night to the dock. And as they're sailing off, I think the morning is coming.
Right, so that's 3 days, right? Two, and then we're on the third day.
I guess, I don't
And then
don't know.
6 days later, so 9 days? Maybe he's just wrong.
Maybe.
He's like, oh, did I say seven? I meant 10. Oops. Or maybe Stephen King's a big old idiot.
Yeah, he just doesn't care. He's like, oh, whatever.
I feel like the directors who've made his movies made him look good. I mean, I've never read his stories, though. So
I like his books. I really like Tommyknockers, The Stand, It, other ones. Oh, Dreamcatcher. I like Dreamcatcher. That movie gets like a lot of flack.
I remember, that movie had Morgan Freeman.
Yep, had Morgan Freeman. It has the guy from Band of Brothers, the redhead, and others. Oh, that's one of the first times I remember seeing Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Who's
You'll
that
know
again?
Him most popularly from the video game movie Hitman.
Oh, no, yes, I'm kidding. Yes.
I mean, he was in that, but you will
He's
not know
Justified.
Him from that. Justified, yeah.
He's in The Girl Next Door. Mm-hmm. He played the adult
porn
film
guy.
Producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just been in a bunch of good stuff. He was in an episode of The Office.
He was?
Yeah. He was for one episode. He was like a traveling salesman that like checks in at Dunder Mifflin every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
everyone
you're
just
right.
falls in love with him. And Jim's like, don't like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
But most of the Stephen King books that I've read, I think I've enjoyed the movies.
Mm-hmm. Where would you rank this movie on your list of Stephen King films?
Ooh. Probably at the bottom.
Yeah, same.
I mean, Tommyknockers honestly wasn't that great of a movie. I think I only enjoyed it. It was a made-for-TV movie. But I...
Not a great sign.
I saw that when I was like maybe 13 or 14, so I was much younger. But I just read the book, so I was like... And I really liked the book, and I was super pumped up about it. And so I watched the movie, and maybe just because I was a dumb kid, I was like, oh, that was all right.
That was cool.
But thinking back, I'm like, I don't think it was that great of a movie.
And it is almost in its own category because it's made for TV. So it's almost like an extended TV show.
Well, I mean, what about
in that
It?
Time?
Because It was also a made for TV movie.
No way. I didn't know that.
From the 90s, the original one?
Holy shit. That's crazy. I thought it was a theatrical.
Mm-mm. Two-parter.
Wow. Well, that one shot beyond its
Maybe Tim original. Curry kind of helped push that up, you know?
True.
Having a movie star attached to that.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the new It movies.
Yeah.
I like both of those.
I still say the first part was the more scarier one.
Yeah, I actually like the second one more, but it was less scary.
Yeah.
I just like the storytelling more.
Yeah.
As far as this movie goes.
Let's get back to Maximum Overdrive.
This Maximum Overdrive.
This is definitely bottom tier for the movies, at least. Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite scene? Not kill, just favorite scene.
So my favorite scene, I did go over it a little bit, but it's when the kid is on the bike going through the town and he's just seeing all of the chaos of the electronics and everything that has already affected everyone and murdered everyone in this small section.
Right.
I like, again, it's you thinking, you know, using your imagination as to what kind of happened here. And how this kid is probably just like, oh no.
Yeah, he's like, oh God.
There's also a cool little shot of like a lawnmower come to life and he has to like run away from that, which I really liked. So I also have like a little bit of a second favorite scene, if you don't mind me saying.
No.
All right.
Not at all. I was like, what the fuck is my favorite scene? I have no idea.
So it's in the beginning with the baseball game going on and you see kind of the electronics start to freak out. Mm-hmm. You see the coach get hit with all of the cans and he dies. And then you see the steamroller come by and just destroy a kid. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
Oh, that's your second favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. I was thinking about that for mine. Yeah, I don't know. I think my favorite scene, it's more of a montage than a scene, but mm-hmm. I do like how ridiculous the montage of them fueling the trucks is.
Yeah.
And them like talking back to the trucks.
Uh-huh.
Like the guy's like, I'm going as fast as I can or whatever. They're like, and then it cuts to the truck just like sitting, saying nothing, not moving, not honking. It's just like sitting quietly. It's mm-hmm. so funny. It's like these people are just losing their minds
mm-hmm.
and they're just people working at a gas station. That's my new theory. This movie is about a group of people getting heat stroke and getting mad at trucks just like being around at the gas station, and the truckers are like, hi, sorry, I just wanted to get some gas, and they're like, fine, if you're gonna kill us, I guess we'll give you gas. And they're like, whoa, okay, yeah, sure.
And they're yelling at like the front of the trucks, like the grills and all that. They're like, I'm up here, you can talk
I'm
to
a
me
man. we made you They're like,
the driver's like,
my God,
I'm going to leave.
Yeah, I'd go somewhere else, but you guys are the only gas station for miles. Least favorite scene. It's got to be either, honestly, the Stephen King cameo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved that. That's or, super fun.
It's got to be some, I don't know. I don't know specifically, but one of those characters that keeps calling people like, maybe the gas station owner, he keeps calling people like Sugar Plum or whatever.
Yeah.
Something about the way he talks makes me so mad. I'm going to say, I'm changing the rules. I don't have a least favorite scene. I have a least favorite character. That fucking guy.
Yeah.
The gas station owner.
Mine would be the gas station owner and the Bible salesman.
Yeah, totally. They're both just irritating.
Irritating and just, ugh, yucky.
Yeah. Gross. Yeah, yucky.
Before we get too far ahead, I didn't ask you what your theories on this movie are now, because I told you mine a little bit with the UFOs. Are they like, are aliens involved with this? Like, what's going on? Do you have any theories?
I mean, solely based on that final text, which gives us, again, so much more information than we had throughout the entire movie. I totally think it's aliens. I don't know what Rush has to do with it, but I feel like this is like a first wave. Cause even one of the characters at some point is like, this is how they do it. They send like a first wave and this is how they clean it up for their arrival or some like that, which is like, where are you getting any of that from?
Conspiracy
theories. And maybe they're right. I feel like that was them like hinting at the, what's actually going on. So it would be like an alien shows up and they're like, all right, let's use all these machines to clean out some of the humans so that we can come and habitate this planet. No idea what the meteor's for or the Russian. Why? Maybe I guess we just know about aliens.
I want to see that movie, though.
Yeah, I'd watch that more than I would watch. Again, this is just people being unhappy at a gas station. The movie.
Maybe the comet like
trucks
wipes out. It's like a huge EMP or something that shuts everything down.
Mm.
And that gives the aliens the ability to like inhabit.
Right. Maybe they can. They can control the meteor or something somehow, or that's a tool that they use. And we're just like, oh, comet or meteor.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I could have been a much more interesting movie, in my opinion, if they really like put more of that info earlier on in the movie, show the satellite. I mean, maybe the budget played a part in that, because they're like, it's mainly just at this gas station. I can't imagine they spent too much money on this, but yeah, that could have been cool. Like you said, the trailer. Oh, I want to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So as far as the movie we watched goes, how many Green Goblin heads would you give it out of 10 Green Goblin heads?
I would give this a 6 Green Goblin heads out of 10 Green Goblin heads.
Not bad.
Yes. I really like the music in this. I really like certain parts. I like the wackiness to this film. There were some over the top moments, some maximum over the top moments that I thought were fun. There was a decent concept here, but overall, as we've said before, it just kind of gets boring at a certain point. And this movie may only be an hour and 37 minutes, but it definitely started to drag.
Yeah, it definitely felt longer than that to me.
Yeah, which is a bummer. Because again, there was some cool stuff they could have done, but unfortunately that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Jeff, out of 10 Green Goblin heads, how many Green Goblin heads would you give this movie?
I would give it 3 Green Goblin heads out of 10 Green Goblin heads. While I did like some of the imagery, that's something I always look for. I realize like iconography, for example, like if someone was to do merchandise, what would they pull out and what would they put on the merchandise? Cause that's something about that gives it like personality, like having that Green Goblin face on the front of the truck. That brings us, just that alone brings this whole movie up. Like
definitely.
It's just so much more interesting and visually appealing. Outside of that, yeah, mostly pretty boring.
Yeah.
I liked the concept and I wish it was executed better. If not for, like, there were parts that were good, but just that boring chunk brings it way down for me because it's like, am I going to rewatch this movie? No.
I don't think I ever will.
Would I recommend it to someone? Not really. I would say watch the trailer. It's funny.
I'd say if someone was looking for like a bad horror movie.
True.
Bad movie in general. Be like, oh yeah, no, I recommend this bad one.
Right. It, movies in general, though, like, oh man, so many of the other movies we've done, I would recommend over this. Hell, yeah. I'd recommend Hellraiser over this movie. And wow. You know, I didn't like Hellraiser.
Yeah. But at least that one's fun. So,
yeah. Yeah. It is fun. It's fucked up, but it's fun. This one's just kind of like a little bit of a dud to me, but
yeah.
But it's got some moments.
This has been one that I've been wanting to check out. I've heard. Not a lot, but I've heard about it enough. And I'm not sure, thinking back, if it was either good or bad things. But now I know for myself, not great things. But I am glad that you suggested this. I'm glad that I was able to knock one of these off my list, see something that I hadn't seen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And this won't be the last time that I choose a movie. Hopefully, I'll choose something a little different next time. We'll see.
I mean, while we're talking about that, I thought this was an interesting test on kind of switching up the formula of how we do things here. And I like to keep doing things like this. It's fun.
Yeah, totally. I like kind of just trying out different formulas and like I like doing the commentary and just trying new things. It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. And hopefully one of these times we'll also do one maybe that you've seen that I haven't. I think that'd be very fun too.
Yeah, definitely. I can kind of bring you into the world of movies that I've seen.
Yeah.
That are horror movies.
And if anyone else likes this concept that we're trying out here, let us know on the Instagram or send us a message. So let us know your thoughts. Maybe you prefer it the other way. Maybe you want to try something or want to hear us do another way.
Any ideas you got? Any criticisms?
Yeah, we're very open to it.
Yep. All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror, number 12, Maximum Overdrive.
Thank you, everyone, for giving us a listen. As always, we really appreciate it. You can follow me at Hurwitz's House of Horror on Instagram. And you can find Jeff at
Art of Jefferson on Instagram.
We would really appreciate it if you guys would like and leave us some reviews on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other podcasting platforms that I can't think of on the spot. give us 5 stars. I dare you. You know,
triple dog dare you.
Ooh, what are you going to do? Not do it now?
Wow.
Yeah. If you don't do it, then you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah. We're going to call you a chicken.
Ooh. What are you? Bark. McFly chicken?
Bark, 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 bark.
Oh, no. We haven't done a Star Trek reference this episode. There were aliens, UFOs. You know what else aliens and UFOs have to do with?
Space. Star Trek.
Do you know what's in space?
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Wait, you know what's in space?
What?
Enterprise. You know what Enterprise is from?
What?
Star Trek.
Did somebody say Star Trek? Star
Trek reference?
Oh. Reference? I really need to get this queued up more. Oh, my God.
Oh, there's another ad.
That's probably really loud. I apologize. All right. Did somebody say Star Trek reference?
Oh, wait. Starting it.
Did somebody say Star Trek reference? It's taking much longer. Here we go. Oh, God damn it. Good enough.
And that's where we don't want to get copyright claimed.
I don't know about you, Jeff, but that's as smooth a transition as we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. We're getting good at this.
Really, really good at this. Thank you, everyone, again for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror...